Today we celebrate the great solemnity of the Epiphany. Indeed, the star was shining and the Magi came, and behold, they came to witness that Jesus the Messiah was there. Also, on a smaller note, it's my birthday. It's always my birthday on the Epiphany, January 6th. And so, but I have to admit, I was kind of thrown off today because every single person that went in the confessional, I think I can say this, I'm not breaking the seal confessional, every person after they got done, "Happy birthday, Father Jamie." I'm like, was there a sign on the door? Obviously, I know someone must have put something on Facebook or something. So, thank you, wherever you are. See you. And indeed, it is the great celebration of Epiphany and my birthday. And in many ways, I feel a kindred spirit with the Magi. And I'll tell you why. Because they were searching diligently. They had, you know, and their profession was astrology, and they saw this great star, you know, and they had to track it. They had to search diligently, and they were so interested. This is no satellite, you know. I mean, we know the historical records show that this was a huge star. A huge star. And they were going to track it. I'm a collector, you know, and as a collector, you know, I love the thrill of the hunt. I do. I think, you know, any goal that one has, I think the journey is always the thing that I think we enjoy most. But until the thrill of the hunt, you know, the information that you gather, you know, the searching on the internet or, you know, by foot, you know, that journey to find that pearl of great price, you know, indeed, I can feel that the Magi, you know, this is star, and you know, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. They're tracking the star, and it seems to be closer. You know, we've seen stars, but they, you know, we can walk toward them. They don't seem like they're getting any closer. And they're not, and they're really, but indeed, they're walking and they're getting closer. They're getting closer to this star. And they have heard, they've done their research, that wherever this star is, the Messiah is. And people have been waiting thousands of years, as I often say. Thousands of years they've been waiting for the Messiah. And he has come, and they're going to seek him out, and they're going to find him. And they do. They find him. And as we hear in the rest of the story, it changes their life. They change direction in their own lives. You know, but the thing about, you know, when we look at the Magi coming to see Christ, I think it should remind us that they were astrologers. That's what they did for a living, you know. In many ways, I think it's important for us to realize what we do for a living, that indeed Christ does come. I think we don't take account of that we don't come to witness that in our own lives. We're not aware of that. You know, we don't look for it, you know, but indeed we see Peter, Andrew, James, and John, you know, beside their nets, you know, working on their nets, and then Jesus shows up, you know? We see that. We see Moses while he's shepherding, God comes to him. Elisha, while he's plowing, God comes to him. Amos, looking for his herd, you know, God comes to him. Matthew, at the customs post, doing his job. Christ comes to him. Wonders of wonders at all. Christ came to Paul, you know, who had an eagerness to destroy Christianity in the world. I mean, that was kind of his job. He was going out and destroying Christianity. And Christ comes to him. Christ comes to him. Indeed, I don't think we take for granted that indeed God is coming to us. We don't take stock in that, how he's come to us in our day. You know, through people and through answered prayers. Indeed, it gives us a lot of hope. You know, indeed, God comes, as we know, in our Mass, we see the four presences of Jesus. It was funny, we were commiserating in the back, you know, how indeed are we supposed to incense? Is it two times, you know, three times? You know, how you know, because there's different calls. And you know, so there's a different understanding of how many times you're supposed to do. Two times, three times for these. For the gospel, but the Eucharist is what is it? Come on, Chris. Yes and no either. So it's all up for grabs, you know. But I digress anyway. I don't know why I got into that. But anyway, Jesus comes in four presences. First of all, he comes, you know, as scripture, we incense the word. He's speaking to us. And a lot of times we don't come to understand how he is speaking to us. We don't take it in and say, how is that working in my life? How is that, even relevant to me today, you know? Christ is speaking to you. And that's why we reverence that. We show that presence, you know, especially on these special solemnities. And indeed, God is present with us in incense. In the Eucharist, God is present. And so we incense then, you know, especially in the priest, God is present. So we incense the priest. But, you know, I think we often forget, you know, there's a part where the server comes down, the acolyte comes down, and incenses you. Indeed, you're called to be the presence of Jesus Christ. You have Jesus, you have the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, and so we celebrate that. But that's a gift and a challenge, isn't it? It's a gift and a challenge that indeed we're called to a special, in a sense, a bravery to live that out. A lot of times we live that out very dimly, you know? We think about some stars are just dim, you know? But in many ways, you know, we can, you know, not access and not be the Eucharist. We can be a pretty dim presence of Jesus Christ. And one of the means in which we can be more bright, in a sense, is, you know, one of the things that we see a key here in our scripture readings is that, you know, how did they understand that the star, it was going to be in Bethlehem, there was going to be a star that would appear? How did they know? It's through scripture. You know, we have to be people of the word. You know, in ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. You know, our church teaching didn't come out of thin air. It's a bunch of guys decided to say, that's what we're going to do. You know, it didn't come out. You know, we have tradition, you know, things that have been passed on to us through understanding of the church fathers. But all of it is embedded in scripture. That's why we have scripture classes, you know, for us to come to understand where our truth comes from. And in many ways for us in our own lives to take hold of that. And truly say, yeah, that makes sense to me. I can live that out. And indeed be the presence of Jesus Christ. In a sense, you know, through scripture, it helps us to be more brave. You know, indeed, God is calling us to be brave. You know, indeed, there are Herods in our life. There's a world that's fighting against us at times not to live out, to be Christ in the world, to be the presence of Jesus. And indeed, we have to be brave. We have to fight the Herods in our lives, whatever it is in our lives. We have to be brave. And God doesn't, as I often say, doesn't leave us empty-handed. He gives us his grace. He gives us his power. The Eucharist, what happens in the Eucharist is we become united to Jesus Christ, right? In a very intimate way, he comes in us. But he gives us grace. He gives us a power to live out and be brave and to be what we live for that, and then we die for that. Amen.